This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. This is Ross Cooper, and today I'm joined by David Moore and Dino, the dream team, as some fans would say, at the Dylan's Brewery on the match day. And chaps, Merry Christmas to you both. And it was a very Merry Christmas indeed. Two games, two wins for us to look back on. How are we all doing?
I mean, Wardy's going to have your pants down after calling us the dream team. He's not going to like that from whatever sort of mountain range he's up at the moment.
Standing dream team.
The standing dream team, you know.
But yeah, good, mate. It's nice to have a Christmas period talking about some positive results for the Sky Blues. It seems like a long time ago since we've had a Christmas period where everything's gone right in terms of results-wise. I think performances have been okay, not great, but we've done enough to secure 6 points, which is more than what we could ask for, really.
And how about you, Dave? What's your sort of big takeaway from the... I mean, all in all, the last several weeks, it's been pretty positive, obviously, with the draws against Leeds and Southampton and the win against Birmingham. But yeah, what's your big takeaway from the last sort of couple of fixtures?
I think that's it, isn't it? It's just rolled on from that Leeds game, even before that. We're picking up points at places or perhaps without not playing at our full capacity. I still think there's more to come, and you can't ask for any more. The points that we've picked up both away from home and at home, you know, a draw against Southampton, you know, they're tonking teams at the moment, right? So it's good to be getting points on the board, and that form table is proof that it doesn't take much to start sort of propelling yourselves up into, you know, towards those playoffs. And actually now people are looking at that sixth spot. I think it's going to be very tricky this season, but, you know, we're in with a shout. Whereas I don't think you probably would have given us a dream a little while back.
Are we still banging trouble, lads? That's what I want to know.
I think there's enough teams playing badly enough for us to be well out of any of that issues. Personally, it could change, but yeah.
That was a far more serious response, Dave, than I was expecting from that question. That was the biggest baiting question I've ever well, heard from Dean. And we're not in trouble at all. I never thought we would be. I predicted third on the preview pod, and I think
what, third for bomb?
That's
no,
in trouble.
No, third, which we're probably not going to get. But
Skybet rubbing their hands at the thought of that.
Look, the nonsense that we had to sort of read, the recruitment's rubbish, all of this. I think anyone, you know, any reasonable sort of supporter backed Mark Robbins. And the only time I was worried was I was sort of more worried for him when we went into that Stoke game where a defeat would have seen five defeats in a row. Because I think for any manager, there's a bit of pressure. But again, he knows when to change it. You know, sometimes I think we were all calling for him to change the system earlier than he did, but he never changes it. He never makes it too late. We said this, didn't we, Dean, previewing Sunderland. He made it. And since then, one defeat in nine, six clean sheets. I mean, and it is clicking. You can see it. Players look at, I mean, look at the camaraderie, you know. You read Twitter at the start of the season, people would have you believe that everyone hates each other. So, yeah, I think it's very, very positive.
It was always going to take time, though, wasn't it? Like, and there's enough time in the season for that to, you know, for that to be managed, shall we say, in regards to the cohesion, the chemistry, etc. And we've showed it in abundance over the previous seasons in this division. We've always had new blood come in, and it's taken a little bit of time. Maybe not as long as this period, but it's taken a little bit of time for everyone to gel. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that now. I mean, you look at the Unseen video from after Boxing Day. You can just see the cohesion. Okay, there might be a few little clicks with Hadji and Callum and stuff, but that's nice. I think Callum's bringing out the best in Hadji as well. Yes. That's something I think we should talk about. But it's all sort of coming to the forefront now. And it's, you know, it's only positive from here and upwards, really.
I've not seen cohesion like that since, you know, the only cohesion similar to that is the Sky Blues Extra team, you know. I've not seen many, many groups of people, you know, get on so well. I mean, and I guess the thing with it, I mean, obviously, Dave, you know, earlier on in the season when we weren't getting the results and there was games where we were probably unfortunate, conceded a few late goals. Obviously, people started getting frustrated with, you know, the Robin sort of line at the time was obviously it's going to take time. But are we seeing now that actually things are clicking? Obviously, the formation has certainly helped, but it's... Everything's looking a lot better, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you go back to those earlier days. I think the mistakes that we were seeing felt like basic football errors and not always of could be blamed on the cohesion or the connection relationship between players. But actually, when you start to boil that down, you look at the defence, now that's solid, you know, that solid back four. You've got Thomas and Kitchen that have played together a lot, whereas I think at times Fads was trying to command or talk through things and actually, you know, people just weren't on the same page, were they? And that's why we're seeing those errors. But I think at the start we were still a bit frustrated at just bad passing, not making passes, not making through balls, not making runs. But that obviously needed to click, and we're seeing it. You know, Hadji Wright is a completely different player to what we've seen in the majority of the early games. And I think, you know, there's confidence, there's time on the pitch, there's time on the training pitch with his colleagues. But I think you're right, O'Hare has started to be the glue that we needed to link that up. I think there was such a big gap between midfield and attack before, because you had people like Jamie Allen trying to play that killer ball, Sheaf was trying to overdo it. Whereas now we've got that player in the middle of the park that can just, and we lost Palmer, of course, through injury, so he wasn't able to sort of be that glue. But now we've got someone that can just put their foot on a little ball at that sort of crucial part of the pitch, which is between the middle of the park and the strike partners. Whereas I think before we were leaving both quite exposed. We said that there was massive gaps between.
You need a ball carrier there, don't you? That's the thing. That's the main point of that position, is to bring the ball forward into a more positive position on the pitch, and having O'Hare and now Palmer, who can do that as well, is only going to be a positive for us going forward.
And having that width, isn't it, as well? Because, you know, we've said this about when we had the wing-backs. If we had the Cam, you know, the number 10 get the ball, and if the wing-backs weren't up, then we had nothing. And it felt like it was very, very predictable. Whereas now, obviously, we've got Sakamoto on the right and Hadji Wright on the left. So let's look at Sunderland then. Tremendous 3-0 win. Obviously, as me and you, Dean, spoke, I was busy doing my Final Four impressions of Tom Hanks that day, so I didn't actually see too much.
The moustache is gone. The moustache is gone. The moustache is gone.
It went that day. As soon as it was finished, it was gone. But yeah, 3-0 win. It was brilliant to see. I managed to catch the last sort of 20 minutes or so. The lineup was what we all wanted. And you know, Dave, give me your sort of overall thoughts to the game. Probably the only negative was obviously Ben Sheaf having to come off just before half time. But all in all, a clinical performance, something that we've not been at times this season.
I think with Ben Sheaf, you know, I think he's just been rested. I think he'll be back in the fold tomorrow against Swansea. But yeah, it was a bit of a negative. I thought we didn't play that well in parts. I thought it was a really scrappy game. It was just frustrating to see us giving the ball away and then they would give the ball away. So there was parts of it, but obviously you can't moan about a 3-0 win. And so many times we've been in games like that where the other team have taken their chances and we haven't. And we've gone, you know, gone down and lost. Whereas actually we did. We were very clinical in the chances that we did get. We created some really good, you know, bits of play. And you've got to be happy, haven't you? You know, going away to Sunderland, I think everyone was fairly nervous about it, even though they're on a bit of a poor run of form. But it was just the 3 points that you perhaps weren't expecting. And then when you start to add that or compound it with the Leeds away and the Saints, it's starting to look like a really, really good period. Whereas I think if you'd have probably lost that, you'd be happy with a draw maybe there. But to get all 3 points just was unbelievable, yeah.
And we spoke about earlier in the season fine margins and how I felt like they weren't going our way. You know, this is a prime example of that game. We win the game 3-0, but they missed the absolute sitter at 0-0. And this is what I was talking about earlier in the season. They were going in and we were, you know, coming out the wrong side. We've sort of come out the right side and we've sort of punished that. So, I mean, it was a terrible miss, Dean. I mean, would you put that in the back of the net, you or?
Eyes closed, mate. That's easy. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say whether the game would have changed at that point, but yeah, it's a blatant miss and that's a bit of luck going our way. Like you said, and that's something we haven't had a lot this year. But to sort of Dave's point there, I actually think it was one of our worst performances of the season, even through those dark days early on and those four defeats. I think actually we played better during that run of four defeats than we did in this game. But it just goes to show, sometimes you don't have to do much to win matches. And we just, you know, rode our luck and you know, we got a little bit of luck as well with the first goal, with the ricochet back off Tats. But overall, you can't moan at that 3-0 victory. I'm not sure how we're getting a 7 who scored rating. I think that's probably just skewed by winning 3-0. But, you know, happy to come away from there with 3 points. And that really set us up going into Boxing Day, knowing that we could go back-to-back and, you know, turn a dim period for us into something positive for a change.
The goals were clinical though, weren't they? I think that's the key. We've had so many chances before where we've not done that. But you know, there was some shock in defending, you know, the Palmer goal. But the O'Hare is just, we've not done anything like that, have we, at the start of the season? And it just goes to show that it's not a great league at times, is it?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that much at times to get past teams. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think that's what we see against teams like Sheffield Wednesday. And hopefully we'll see against teams like Swansea, because you only need, you know, two or three moments of brilliance to get that goal. And I think, you know, not to repeat, but going back to what you're saying, we didn't do that at the start of the season, but teams were doing that. I think, you know, Leicester away from home, they didn't have a particularly great game against us, but they're able to come up with, you know, two decent finishes.
You have to be clinical when the chances arise. And we took three of the big four that we had in this game, which, you know, is something that you can't really comprehend as a Coventry fan at times. But we've done it in this one. And, you know, it was all testament to the team. I thought they battled hard in this one as well. And a few standout performances, obviously O'Hare and stuff. But I thought Sims did really, really well in this game as well. I mean, I look back at the goals this morning and the two runs he makes, we probably don't get the space and time for the first two goals unless he makes the run and drags defenders away. So I think he's come under some criticism recently because he hasn't scored, but it's not always about that. If he's making opportunities for other people to score and we're taking them like we have in the last two games, then he's doing his job for me.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's impacting the game and you know, you look at the subs coming on, Palmer obviously coming on and affecting getting a goal. Jada Silva being able to come on, and obviously Josh Eccles was, you know, came on sort of enforced, but Latibodier as well. And suddenly the bench has been looking a lot better, hasn't it, for the past few weeks, and been able to bring players on who that, I think that competition and that sort of momentum and that camaraderie is clearly affecting people like Palmer coming on and knowing that he needs to make an impact. He needs to contribute something, whether it's an assist, whether it's a goal. And, you know, we talk about impact in the game. I think had you right in Sunderland. I mean, the first goal again involved being absolutely like taken down by Luke 09. The third goal, although poor goalkeeping, plays a really important part in being able to shield the ball for Palmer to then stick it in the back of the net. And then obviously for the O'Hare goal, he gets the assist. So I think we want players. That's what we were sort of lacking earlier on, is felt like we had too many players sort of out the games for a while. But actually, we had you right. I think big praise for him.
Is Luke 09 the most overrated player in the Championship?
Yeah, I couldn't believe he was captain.
He is awful.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never seen him have a good game, ever.
No, I'm the same. I find it very odd.
And he's lauded as, like, you know, the king of the north, the John Stone.
He is.
He's very much like Gary Deegan, isn't he? You know, like, sort of just...
It's just what, there.
Gary Deegan looked like I'm really passionate, but actually the quality is just absolute lacking.
What a rogue player to shout out there. Gary Deegan.
Gary Deegan. The pit bull, wasn't it? That's why. He came the self-proclaimed pit bull. Let's get man of the match then for that game then. Sunderland, start with you, Dean.
I'm going to go with O'Hare.
And you, Dave?
Yeah, I think the same.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Now, the Sky Blues made it 2-2 with a Boxing Day win against Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. Turning into Clive Eakin now.
They're all the same. They're both shite.
They are. Against Sheffield Wednesday, who obviously they lost on the 23rd to Cardiff, but were sort of unfortunate to do so. I've had a sort of semi-revival of some sorts under the new manager. And it was a game that obviously there was a change, Latibodier coming into midfield and Eccles as well. And Matty Godden getting a start. Were you happy, you know, with those changes? Dave, you know, was there any surprises? Were you surprised to see Godden get a start, or did you expect it with the sort of, you know, fixture congestion?
I think that's it. I think you just have to keep remembering that there's a lot of fixtures, and, you know, you need that rotation. So I suppose everyone was a little bit surprised, but because Sims hasn't played loads of football. So I suppose it was a bit of a surprise, but it kind of is what it is. The rest of it, I was pretty happy with.
And you, Dean, I mean, obviously Latibodier in midfield is something that I think, again, a lot of fans have been sort of calling for earlier on in the season, you know, when we had the injuries and didn't bring a replacement in for Hamer, and he seemed quite reluctant to do it. But now he's obviously brought him on a few times against Leeds, where he can sort of, you know, be that sort of sweeper in that position. And he didn't look out of place, did he? You know,
mate,
starting.
He is class.
Yeah, he is.
He is class. Like, he is the ultimate Swiss Army knife, isn't he? He seems to be. Like, he could just literally play anywhere and you're going to get a 7 out of 10 performance out of him. He is just such a competent player, especially at this level. So I was, you know, I'm super happy to see him performing well. And I thought he was magnificent. Other than obviously Sakamoto's goals are great and he'll get star man, of course. But other than him, Latibodier was the by far the best player on the pitch for me. Breaking up play, composed. His passing was a joke during the game. He just seems to find a little bit of extra space as well. He also seems to be able to get an extra touch, which a lot of players in central midfield, when you're playing that role as the defensive midfielder, sometimes, especially the way Sheffield Wednesday sort of pressed us, you can lose time, but he seemed to find a little bit of extra time the whole game.
He doesn't try and do things that isn't within his ability either. He doesn't try and play a 90-yard pass.
The opposite to Josh Eccles.
Yeah, no, and this is the thing, right? And I know sometimes those passes are on, you're screaming it to go out wide, but that's how we've lost so much possession through this season when you know, Jamie Allen is trying to play a pass that he just hasn't got in his locker, or, you know, even O'Hare at times does it, and Palmer. But Latimer doesn't do that. You know, if it's not on, he doesn't do it. And I think it's just a really good sign of a real mature, you know, professional footballer.
I said to Ross during the game, like, with him and Eccles in there, it feels like they both sort of think like they've got to replace Sheaf, but they don't have to. Like, just play your own game.
Yeah.
And what we had out there was more than enough to, you know, take down Sheffield Wednesday. Just be competent in what you do well. And
we've got that attacking three now. You know, you've got that O'Hare, you've got Sakamoto. So you're not as reliant, I don't think, as you were on those middle two.
Yes, but
whereas early in the season, we had that middle two and they were both trying to defend and become attacking midfielders and they couldn't do that. Whereas Eccles has come on leaps and bounds this season. But actually, when he doesn't have to try and play those balls, he just focuses on winning it or intercepting it and then giving it fairly simple because he's got options in front of him. He's not losing it as much as he was, towards the start of the season.
There's no pressure really to, you know, be that attacking threat. You've got players who can do that. Instead, just do what you do well, get the ball to them, and then be the backup when needed. You know, it's pretty simple stuff. It's not rocket science football at the majority of the times.
But there's more cohesion, isn't there, between the partnerships around the pitch is the biggest thing you can see. Like the central defensive pair, down the right hand side, the Sakamoto and Van Avac, for example.
You can see that's really, really, really tight, isn't it?
You can see the same with Bidwell and Hadji Wright, O'Hare linking those up. I mean, we look like a bunch of strangers, which we were at the start of the season because of all the new players. But you suddenly look at it and you go, yeah, you can really, even if we're not playing our best, there's enough of an understanding there for us to be able to find those moments, find that.
I think we've also sort of rolled our sleeves up a little bit. I think people were looking around at the start of the season a bit, being a bit, not just sorry for themselves, but looking at who was going to step up. And now actually you've got players like Hadji Wright. I know... You know, I think Oggy slated him, at Sunderland and to say that how, Patrick Roberts was absolutely tearing him a new one. But actually, he is tracking back much, much more. He's, he's making runs where he wouldn't have perhaps made runs. And it's the same for everyone. I don't think people are looking around as much and going, okay, well, who's going to take charge of this? Who's going to step up? I think there's that much more. Chase the changing room, I think. The changing room camaraderie has just got, I will work for that other player or I will try and get behind that other, that fullback to give an option, to give some pass. Whereas I don't think we're always doing that at the start. And it clearly shows.
Two things there I want to pick you up on. Oggy's comments were a joke, like well over the top.
I didn't
Patrick
hear them,
Roberts, right? And I'm thinking Patrick Roberts takes the piss out of pretty much 99%
this
division.
If you could make a signing out of that game and it wasn't perhaps O'Hare, it probably would have been Patrick Roberts, from an impact sub point of view, if you could do something like that, because he was just very gifted, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously Clark as well in that game. But
yeah.
So I thought that was over the top. But secondly, it looks like those trips to Mega Bowl have really worked well, haven't they? With the cohesion, the team spirit, those connections. And you're absolutely right. Both sides of the pitch look really, really good at the moment. And the two centre halves are, just seem to be a class above most of what we've seen coming up against us recently. My concern with them two is that they seem to be giving the ball away way too often. And that's my only sort of real concern.
Who?
With
the centre backs?
Yeah, Kitchen and Thomas, yeah.
But they're trying to do the right, but they're...
Is it the right counter argument to me? You get a free pass in front of you and you're trying to go for a diagonal ball.
Not necessarily, but then I would rather that than what we had at the start of the season where all they did was play that safe sideways pass back to and we went absolutely nowhere. They're trying to do it and they're not going to pull it off every time, otherwise it wouldn't be playing for us. They'd be playing, but they're trying to do the right thing. I agree. I think it's... They need to try and get the percentages more.
I suppose it's a time and a place, isn't it?
Yes.
When you're feeling the pinch and the pressure's on and you give that ball away, that's when you can start to get overrun. Maybe if you tune it up, then... But I do also agree because the whole thing with football, it's 11 men against 11 men. You've got to either beat a man or cut some players out of that phase of play to be able to progress to score a goal, right? That's generally how you do it, because if not, everyone would just be man for man and whatever. So you do have to take risks, of course, to do that. But I just think sometimes Thomas, but Kitchen especially, I do think we're taking unnecessary risks at times to try and play what would be, you know, defined as a World Cup willy pass when it doesn't always need to be played. There's a two-sided coin on it, isn't
it's a
there?
Good job he can defend, though, difficult. And I think they're both very, very good defenders. And
well, they do win it back, to be fair, they give it away, yeah.
And you know, and again, I think that's how many goals we've seen now in recent times where Kitchen brings it out, and then again for the first goal, which we'll talk about now, he brings it out, plays it out wide to, you know, him stepping up with the ball, whereas we didn't do that earlier on the season. People like Binks and that just stood there and they just knock it straight back to the other centre-back and didn't want to run forward with it. He runs forward, plays it out to Haji Wright, chalk and cheese to earlier on the season, stands his defender up, knocks it past him, pulls it back, and Sakamoto with a lovely finish. I was going to say, how do you know?
Because you were in the piss house, right?
No, the guy was making me wait for my burgers. So then I heard the roar and I sprinted up. But yeah, no, brilliant, brilliant move. And again, you can pick apart obviously the finish from Sakamoto, but Haji Wright, that's what we want to see him doing, him backing himself. I think there's that real belief in not only themselves, but in each other. And it was a lovely finish, wasn't it?
He did it three times during the game versus Parma. And he hadn't got a clue what was going on most of the time. The pity for me, I think, in the game is that we didn't do it enough. Like, we didn't attack their fullbacks enough, really. It just sat a bit samey, going through the middle of the park a little bit too much. And then when we did get on the wings, we made something out of it. And I think if we'd have just hammered that even more. I mean, you look at that first half, Sakamoto, you know, more chops than a butcher's against that guy. It was just incredible to see, but we just stopped doing it, especially second half. We just didn't get the ball out wide enough like to cause them more problems. That's why it felt probably a little bit haphazard second half, because we didn't do it, and then, you know, we got the fruits of it through the first goal.
Did you feel in that first half the biggest thing, you know, we talked about it, didn't we, Dean, at the time? Everything felt pretty fluid. You know, we had O'Hare. He didn't have necessarily his most impactful game, but he's a very fluid player. So is, you know, Sakamoto. Wright looks quite sort of graceful when he's running. I don't know. Godden wasn't in it much, and it felt like we were missing. And then when he did try and get involved, we spoke at the time about how it feels like it takes one more touch than is what's probably needed for that move. And it just felt like he was, I don't know, just out of it a little bit. And obviously with Ellis Sims, although, you know, people look at his goals and point to that he's only scored in one game this season, but he does give you that physicality, doesn't he? He gives you something in that lone striker role. I don't know whether he ultimately is more suited to that. Dave,
Godden had two touches in that first half, was it? Something like that. One of them was a misplaced pass and the other one was a miscontrol. It's not enough. When we were in the ascendancy in that first half, he just didn't do enough for me. He had 11 touches all match. Just a really, really poor performance,
well,
I thought.
Well, I guess the question would be, in that first half when we were completely dominant, that's when you'd like to think that your striker is going to be, hopefully get more chances or be involved more than when we're sort of up against it. And it just felt like, yeah, I don't want to like be too critical of him, but it just felt like he just wasn't in it, was he, Dave? And it felt like it bypassed him a little bit. You know, everything was going on around him and he sort of didn't know where exactly he fitted, it seemed.
Yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one. I mean, there's got to be that rotation because it's a really busy fixture list, and that's going to happen throughout the season. You know, if you're going all the way down to Plymouth on Valentine's Day, can you get back up for a game? You know, so you're going to have to keep doing that. But it's just not, it isn't, and not showing enough, is he? And I think he's starting, the attributes that he, you know, I don't know what a 10-yard sprint would be between him and Sims, but I think it'd be quite close, if that makes sense. But then when you add a defender into that with the physicality and that, then Sims probably wins that race. I don't know. It's very difficult to sort of put my finger on why he's not involved at all and why the game's bypassing him. I don't know if it's a pace of that since O'Hare has come into the game and Haji Wright is, you know, and Sakamoto, and maybe that's what it is. Or, you know, is everyone else correct that loves Godden, saying that he's pulling defenders and making spaces for the other one? It's a difficult argument to have, because you can't really have, you know, I'd say O'Hare's a bit of a luxury player, but actually, or Wright, I'd say Haji Wright is probably our biggest luxury player. All right, he's shown a bit defensively, but he's not showing, you know, he's not that defensive, right? Whereas actually, I was a bit unfair, O'Hare does work like his, you know, works his socks off and gets back into games. So you can't have too many of those players And if you're talking about someone that only has 11 touches, then you're probably looking at someone like Ibrahimovic, right? That doesn't always have to do anything in a game, but then gets the bike out once and he, in the last minute and it scores. You walk away with all 3 points. I'm not sure that Godin is going to have enough chances to be able to do that. You know, we all know he's a prolific goal scorer, but there just needs to be a bit more. It's a bit of a concern, I think.
I was really interested because I saw someone mention about Godin dragging defenders out wide and stuff. Look at his heat map compared to the two central defenders. His is all through the middle. The two central defenders is very wide, so they're actually being dragged out by the wide players rather than the forward, which should give him more space to move into himself and get into position of, you know, good chances to score, basically. But he just wasn't there. Like, he had one touch in the box all game. For a striker, that's not good enough for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Stunned in silence there.
Stunned into silence, yeah. Stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Are you right, Ross?
Yeah, no, I thought
you just couldn't believe what I was saying something coherent for once.
No,
maybe.
He sends me to sleep, Dean. No, but no, let's go to the second half then. So, Sheffield Wednesday did put a bit of pressure on. There was that goal mouth scramble right in front of us, Dean, where it was sort of, I had to watch it back a couple of times to work out who actually cleared or blocked it. You know, there seemed to be a two or even three attempts at goal. But other than that, you sort of back us defensively now. I guess that was the biggest thing earlier on in the season. It felt like, yes, fine margins, but it also felt like that we were just going to succumb to the pressure. And I think in recent games, Leeds away, you know, Southampton, you know, that we've shown that actually that partnership, that back four now, everyone looks so much better in that back four. Van Aanholt, you back him one every single one-on-one duel. Bidwell been fantastic. And then you can take him off, bring De Silva on, and he just carries on where Bidwell left off, sort of thing. And the two centre-backs, as we've said, very, very good. And Collins, when asked questions of, made a couple of smart saves. And then obviously we went up the other end and did to Sheffield Wednesday what teams have probably done to us in recent times. And, moment of quality, Casey Palmer getting an assist. And Sakamoto, I mean, just cutting inside and just pinpoint, just bending it into the far corner. It was a delightful finish, Dave. And that takes him to 4 goals for the season. And, he's really... You can see that trust. We always say this with Robbins. You know, he was very reluctant to play him for more than 20 minutes at the start of the season. Now he's playing the whole match. He backs him. He looks like he's up for the challenge physically. And technically, there's never been any question marks, really. But his end product is certainly coming to the fore, isn't it?
I think it's also about him finding his role in the team. You know, he didn't know what that was at the start of the season. He didn't know if he was going to be a right back or a winger. And he's kind of now, it's very obvious, you know, what his role is. And that's given him the confidence to take players on more. He wasn't shooting at the start, but I think it's a confidence. He's clearly looks like a confidence player to me. And he wasn't getting enough minutes on the pitch to be able to even get himself probably fully up to speed. There's a lot of changes, you know, not been to Japan myself, but very different to Sutton, I'd imagine. So, like, you know, there's a lot that he's been probably dealing with and changes, as well as the football style. It's a lot more physical probably than what he was used to. And it's sort of feels like he's just sort of come of age a little bit, and something's, you know, a switch has flicked, and he's now happy to take shots, and, you know, he's got a wicked left foot. He links up really well. I think Dean's probably going to say it, but O'Hare is another big part of probably why he's improved, because you've got someone that is also one a little bit more on the same wavelength as him, but also able to keep up with him in that sort of one touch moving and passing. Whereas I think, you know, we said it before, we had such a gap in the midfield. He was very isolated out there, so he could do his chopping all he wanted, but he didn't have those sort of intricate passes that he could play. Just very good player, isn't he? And I think he's become a very firm fan's favourite.
Ross has been giving me pouters because I said he was going to be flop of the season. Mm.
But not just you.
I'm glad you said it, Dave. We didn't know what his position was, and I don't think he knew what his position was, and that was on the basis of that, basically.
I want to say you, Wardy, and Matt Trutwin all said Sakamoto in the preview pod as flop of the season. So
on the basis we didn't know where he was going to play.
Yeah.
Because if we were going to play the same system, then he doesn't fit into it at all.
Well, the other thing you think about with that system is it's mad now when you see the link up on that right hand side. Van Aanholt overlapping him, he can cut in. Defenders don't have a clue what's going to get, what's happening. O'Hare then dropping into that, make that little triangle. That just wouldn't happen with the five at the back.
Because, but it should, you know, do. Like we said, that's what should happen.
Because obviously we've only got this one person can play at the right wing back.
But so then if you play the two behind the striker,
yes, of course,
you
it should have been
dragged
more,
them out.
It just never seen that way. You know, I've never seen the two. I've never seen Bidwell so high up. I say this to Dean every time. You know, in a back five, when you think you've got the freedom, mate, to get up, you'd barely see him over the halfway line. And we go to a back four, and you can't. It's like you hardly see him in your own defensive half. It's mad. It's mad. But it was a great finish from him. And yeah, I mean, he's starting to go from strength to strength, and hopefully he can keep those goals going. I mean, look, just. Quick question, who do you think will finish with more goals out of Sakamoto and O'Hare this season?
Oh, difficult.
I think O'Hare probably just maybe.
What happens if O'Hare leaves in the next 30 days?
Do you think he will?
No, I think he signs a new contract.
Yeah, everybody.
I've got an inkling it's pretty much there. Yeah.
And how long do you think that will be?
I think it'll be a 2-year deal. I don't think it'll be a long-term thing because the injury thing will play a part in that. And that's why he hasn't been offered a contract. I mean, everyone's going, oh, why haven't we offered him a contract? Because you don't know how players are going to return from an ACL. Mm. Like, it's one of the hardest injuries, if not the hardest injury for a footballer to come back from. So you can't give him a contract on the basis that he could do a Jody Jones and be out again with another snap. You know, it's very easy for one ACL to turn into another quite quickly. So I actually applaud the club for not doing it, because we could have been left in a situation where we're paying someone maybe fourth or fifth highest earner at the club money for be sitting on the bench where it could be used elsewhere. Whereas now he's come back, he looks stronger, fitter than ever before. We can now offer him a deal and, you know, hopefully there'll be a bit of a two-way situation there, whereas O'Hare, you know, we've protected him for and got him through this period. Maybe he'll look for a little bit of loyalty from us and we look for some from him as well. So I think I'm not too worried in regards to that contract happening.
Fingers crossed. I'll get man of the match then from you both. I'll start with you, Dave.
It's pretty clear, isn't it? Sakamoto. But I thought there were some really good performances all round. And it's just nice to see the team as a unit. You know, bodies on the line at times. I don't think we saw that at the start of the season, and we're starting to see that now. And you know, it's probably a big reason why we've picked up so many points.
And you, Dean?
Yeah, I think it has to be Tats, but a big shout out for Lats as well.
Okay, so the Sky Blues are back in action. Another two fixtures coming thick and fast, starting on Friday the 29th, again at the CBS, Swansea City, well, still managerless Swansea City, coming to the CBS on the back of a thumping 5-0 defeat away at their old manager, Russell Martin, Southampton, before the Sky Blues travel up to play Middlesbrough on New Year's Day. Looking at these two fixtures, Dean, obviously Swansea first, you know, got to be hopeful, you know, with the form that we've shown, with the teams that we've been playing against, that there's nothing to stop us picking up another couple of positive results.
Absolutely not, but beware of the wounded animal, as they say, after that 5-0 defeat from Southampton on Boxer Day for Swansea. And they were awful that day. I've watched back the extended highlights because, you know, I'm an absolute football nerd, but they were pretty poor defensively all over the shop. You'd like to think that we've got our fair share of attacking threat now that we can, you know, do a job on these. And I think we should go in to this game with a lot of confidence. Swansea only 3 clean sheets as well in the league this year, so they ship in goals for fun. So I'm looking forward to it. And you know, for once I'm going into a game against Swansea looking as us being the favourites against really one of our bogey sides as well. And I look back at that 3-3 draw last season, it just really annoys me still how we threw that away. So we show we can go up against them, but we obviously just need to be wary of their threats as well. But yeah, I'm positive going into this one.
And Dave, you know, when we look at Swansea, I mean, obviously that defeat, they beat Preston the game before on the 22nd of December. They've been very inconsistent since the start of November, really. Only the two wins, 4 draws in there. It's difficult to know what to expect, really. Obviously, Michael Duff I felt at the time it was sort of quite surprised that he lost his job based on the results. In terms of the fans' perception of him, I think the writing was on the wall. But what are you sort of expecting from them? Because in my head, I've still got the sort of Russell Martin passes to death sort of, you know, ingrained in my mind. But it's probably going to be a different Swansea City proposition for us.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, the results, but the teams that they were playing were not expected to do much this season. So your Rotherhams, Huddersfields, and that they probably would have been expected to get points against those teams. Griff Dean, coming off the back of a 5-0 loss, is, you know, they could really sort of try and come out and be resilient. But if you get an early goal, and that's what, you know, we start games fast. We've started them even faster, I think, this recently. If we can get an early goal, then people will start to look around at others and say, you know, deja vu, what's going on here? Who's going to, you know, get us out of this mess? And that's when goals start to go in, because people just stop tracking their man. They don't know, you know. I think that's what we've got to do. The longer it goes on, I think the more they'll grow in confidence and possibly grind out a result. But if we can get something early, then I think they'll fold.
They will like to keep possession as normal. You know, I think that's in not just on the manager, that's sort of the Swansea heritage. But in relation to how much possession they keep, they're one of the worst performing teams in the division for what they create out of it. So I don't think we need to be worried about having the fair share of possession in this one. We have showed in previous games, the likes of Sunderland, where they had more possession. Even the Leeds game, obviously, they had way more possession than us, that we can, you know, go up against these teams and come out with a result. So I wouldn't be too worried in that regard. I think we just need to be patient. If we're patient enough, chances will come. And I don't think they're good enough at the back to deal with what we've got. So, yeah, I'm optimistic.
And obviously, you know, team news wise, it's obviously only been 3 days since the Boxing Day fixture. Is there any changes you anticipate? Obviously, we're waiting to see if Liam Kitchen's red card will be overturned or not. I don't think
that will be done before Swansea anyway.
I think I agree.
And also, I don't think it will be overturned.
Also agree.
I mean, the whole thing is absolute madness. He hasn't done anything wrong from what we can see. But you know, that's just the way the sort of the FA work in regards to rescinding red cards. Because they both got red carded, they would feel that it's unjust to just do one, basically. So that's their thinking. So I don't think that will be overturned, unfortunately. But you know, I've heard a lot of people say about the Kitchen situation, what's he getting involved for? Well, what else is he supposed to do?
Like,
the guy comes and headbutts him in the face. Yeah. Like, why is he getting involved? I'm sorry, you don't choose not to be headbutted. You know what I mean? Like, it happens. Like, he's standing his ground. Absolutely preposterous for people to say that it's like his fault for getting involved. He's not involved at all. Like, it's just, it's preposterous.
It is mad. I mean, the only thing I would say is that you don't often hear Mark Robbins like that. He normally is very much, I'd sort of expect him to come out and be like,
It is what it is.
It's a bit naive. It is what it is. You know, we move on and we're going to lose him now for 3 games and sort of accept it. For him to come out and be so adamant, that tells me he has to, because Mark Robbins is always under promise, over deliver. For him to come out and sort of be like that, he must have seen something that to him is sort of, you know, complete evidence that he doesn't do anything. And I don't know.
I suppose, you know, you're interviewed after the game, pretty much straight after. He's clearly seen it. And I think maybe he's just, you know, I don't know, probably feels like a lot of us. It's just like, how frustrating that we've put in all of these really good performances. We're high flying. And he's a large part of why that's happened. And maybe the realization of the fact that we're going to lose him for something that feels unjust. So I don't know. I don't know. It's not like the unflappable Mark Robbins to not be, but I kind of feel like he might have just got, you know, just as frustrated as everyone on the terraces were.
He went pure squeaky Mark Robbins, didn't he, in that interview?
Vintage squeak.
Proper squeak.
So going on the assumption that, you know, it's not overturned at all, let alone for the Swansea game, so you didn't... What were we thinking? Louis Binks to come in?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was very unlucky to be dropped anyway. And obviously we fell upon the Kitchen-Thomas relationship and it's worked really well. But I would expect Binks to come in because you can't have Fads in a four. Like, it's just...
No.
especially against someone like Jerry Yates, who's going to pull you apart, you know, pace wise. I think Fads would be found out a little bit more in this type of game, whereas Binks has got a little bit of pace about him. A little bit more than Fads anyway. So,
I think this will tell you where Fads is in Mark Robbins's reckoning. So, you know, they've got a brilliant relationship. He obviously thinks the world of Fads, and clearly because he sort of shoehorned him in wherever he possibly could. And I suppose whether the change of the guard has officially happened or not. And I think you'll see that. I think personally, a lot of me thinks he'll do anything to get him back in. He just hasn't had a chance to do that. But at the same time, he's got a big chance to sort of set his stall now. And I think you're right. You know, Binks didn't do anything massively wrong to be dropped. But I just think it's almost feels like the $1 million question. And, you know, Mark Robbins will play his hand.
I think the change of the guard is happening, Dave. You can see that from the videos, Fads and Kelly. I think they're both sort of the leaders off the pitch now.
Yeah.
Especially at the end of games, like coming on, them two are the first on the pitch to congratulate the team, get behind them, etc., push people into the stands or whatever. I think the change in the guard is happening.
And Matty Godden as well, you know, he at the start of the season, Robbins would do anything but take him off. Yeah, he seemed absolutely happy to take him off.
Well, he can't start this game, Godden, if you're going by performances, he cannot start this game from what happened on Boxing Day.
Yeah, and rotation and all of that stuff, I'd agree.
Like, so what would you go then? So Louis Binks in, Sims to start, and then would Sheaf come back in?
I think Sheaf's gash on his head is pretty nasty from a picture that I saw on WhatsApp.
Did he send you that, did he?
No, unfortunately not. I saw it on someone else's phone. But he's been told he couldn't play. That game was too early for the stitches, etc. Maybe I think this game might be a little bit too early for him as well. I think he might see him on New Year's Day rather than this day.
If it feels like one that Robbins... Sheffield Wednesday felt like one he could win, and he didn't need to risk, like, Sheaf, you know? But Robbins will ask people to play if he feels he needs them, you know?
Yeah.
Michael Doyle, you know, played that game with half his legs hanging off, didn't he? When really he was in no fit state to play. So I think Robbins will, you know, be quite adamant if he needs someone in there to get them in. But I think Sheffield Wednesday for sure. Don't know.
He might be on the bench then, in that case, like just in case we need him. I would like to see him and Lats though together. I think that's got the making of something for the time being as well.
I think Alan might come back in, and he might get Latabodiere and Alan.
Alan as well, yeah. A bit more energy in the middle of the park.
Just that energy, Grimes, yeah. I think O'Hare will start. I can't see any other changes, can you? I think it will go be Bidwell again.
I can't see Alan coming in for Eccles.
You can't?
I don't know. I can't, no.
He loves Jamie Allen, Dave.
He didn't even come on, did he?
No, he didn't. So that's what I mean. I think he's gone 3 days later. Alan's ready to go. I mean... Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the sensible approach maybe is that, you know, if someone's played and it's only 3 days, like you say, you know, why not? If you've got that depth and you've got that squad rotation, and also you think majority of the creativity is going to come from your O'Hares and your, you know, rights and stuff like that, then maybe.
We are going up against a very competent midfield in Fulton, Grimes and Patterson in that triangle. You know, they're seasoned vets at this level. They know what they're doing. I think there's a lot of pressure on those three to perform. So if you can get a bit of energy around them, then I think that's the way to sort of beat Swansea. I wouldn't be surprised if Alan came in with you, Ross.
Yeah, and I'll get a prediction for the game from you both, Dean.
I think it'll be a 1-0 victory. It might be a bit tense, but I think we'll sort of manage it and come out on top.
What do you think, Dave?
I'll take 2-0.
2-0.
And I just hope I can see it.
Oh yeah, we're going on a booze cruise basically before this game.
So we'll see what state.
Hosting a booze cruise.
Yeah. The other question,
bit of a
Dave,
Christmas drink up, isn't it?
Yeah. Will Dave? The question for you is: will Dean make the game? That's the question.
What are you trying to say?
1,000% he'll make it.
I'll make the game.
Yeah.
Might not remember.
Never in doubt.
I'm not like Ross Spence. One drinking down, you know.
And then but hopefully we can get a win. I think it's a good opportunity. It would sort of round off, wouldn't it? There's a really good point where Elland Road and beating Sunderland, if we could keep the home form going. And then obviously we travel up to our old favourite opponent, Middlesbrough, who have been very up and down their fixtures. They started the season awfully. Then they went on a tremendous run of winning like six or seven in a row. But they've had another poor sort of... lot of results, you know, losing to Rotherham, a couple of wins before that, three defeats before that. So, I mean, where do you see them at, Dean, Middlesbrough? Do you see them as, you know, a team who are probably going to get the playoffs again, or how do you rate them?
I think they'll be there or thereabouts, but they're absolutely ravaged by injury at the moment. I think they've got 11 first-team players on the injury list, which is, you know, sounds like Coventry City at one point, and their luck. But yeah, they're still a very, very competent side. And on their day, they can beat absolutely anyone. And in Morgan Rogers, they've got, you know, a match winner. So yeah, we've got to be absolutely on it for this trip to Middlesbrough. We obviously got some great memories against Middlesbrough recently. We are their bogey side. It seems like their fans do not like us for no reason other than we seem to beat them every single time we play them. But it's very difficult to look at this one because obviously it's going to be dependent on what happens against Swansea. We're recording this obviously before that game finishing. But it's a long way to go, isn't it? New Year's Day as well.
That's why, you know, the emphasis is on the Swansea game. If we can get something, you know, 3 points from that, then there's not as much pressure, I don't think, riding on that. And I think the group's gone away to some really tricky places and got results, you know, and hopefully that momentum from Leeds and Sunderland just makes those away trips a little bit easier in the team's mind than perhaps what they felt when they went away to Preston.
I do feel sometimes we're set up to be much more of an away side than we are playing at home. That's a strength of ours. So, you know, we've got to utilise that as much as we can. And Middlesbrough got a tough trip to Huddersfield on Friday as well. So they're coming off the back of that 1-0 loss to Rotherham. So if they have two defeats against two of the worst sides in this division, then the pressure will be on from the natives up there to perform at home. So maybe we can take advantage of that as well. Who knows?
How much can we, you know, does the game earlier on in the season at the CBS, the 3-0 win, you know, how much can we take from that? Or, I mean, we seem a very different side, don't we, to that game. But is there anything you take from that, Dave? Or
we're a much better team, I think, than when we were there. You know, the argument is Middlesbrough, but I don't know. I think clearly looking at the teams they've been beat, you know, I can't go back and watch every game, but you know, Hull are obviously, you know, a half decent this season. Rotherham, not so much. So they're probably not they're not where they were at the end of last season, put it that way, and are a beatable team. I think there's plenty of opportunity to go there and get something.
We also played a much better Middlesbrough side at the CBS than what they'll be able to put out on New Year's Day,
yes,
player-wise. So, it's... Obviously, the odds are forever in our favour, it feels like, but it's always a tricky one. And, you know, they are expected to challenge this year. They're probably in a bit of a false position at the moment, but that will be down to literally being hampered by injury.
It's interesting, isn't it? You look at the table and level and points with them, obviously, going into the Swansea game, you know, and they had that run of six wins in a row, which is something that I can't remember the last time we ever did that, but it just shows that they'd be very inconsistent. They win a lot, but they lose a lot. Obviously, those draws we got, we've been a lot harder to beat than Middlesbrough have. I mean, their recent home form, for example, you know, they beat West Brom 1-0, which is a good result, but losing to Hull, losing to Ipswich, and then winning 4-0 against Preston. So it's one of those, isn't it? It depends which side turns out the best on the day. And I guess a lot of it does depend on how we react with the potential sort of loss of Kitchen against Swansea. And if we can win that game and look equally as good at the back, then I think we'd go there with the same level of confidence. The worry would be if we lost to Swansea and or defensively looked suddenly more shaky, could that then sort of seep into the Middlesbrough game? Because that back four has looked rock solid for us and everyone knows their job. If you feel comfortable watching it and suddenly just that one change, you just wouldn't... that's the only apprehension I have now, is that relationship with between Thomas and Binks doesn't feel to me as... I don't know who takes command there. I feel like when I watch Kitchen, he's that one taking the lead.
That's a good point. And that's the only reason I feel like Fads could potentially come back in. That's the only reason I feel that Fads could potentially come back in, just because Mark Robbins trusts him over and above. But, you know, physically, it's streets apart, aren't they?
Well, they will be coming against Sam Silveira, who is really a winger playing at the top end of the pitch. So I don't think it's going to be sort of like an aerial bombardment or anything like that. They're going to obviously want to play through the lines to him a bit more. Mm. So I think it's the pace thing that frightens me mostly with this team, really. That's why I just don't think Faz has got the legs to cope with that. He's just not a player who can play as part of a two anymore. He's just not got it in him, unfortunately. And he's been a great servant, but we've kind of moved on. It's like, we're looking for players now that will have something about them pace-wise as well at the back.
And I think what you said, Dave, about... I think the Swansea game is going to say a lot of where he is. I think it's already said quite a lot that he hasn't brought... I would have thought he'd have brought him on in certain games when we've been winning recently, to just throw an extra defender on to even go back to the back five. I thought Robbins would be absolutely adamant to try and squeeze that back five in somewhere in a game and get Fads on to try and see out the wins. But he hasn't even done that. He's been a new sub, and I think that says a lot. And that makes me wonder, actually, I think maybe he is not going to come in against Swansea. But I do agree. I think that will show where he is in the pecking order, because he was always the guy who was sacrificed when we went to a back four earlier in the season. So it's clearly something that, obviously, I think is a weakness. But
I think just overall, if I can just say this before we close, I think the next month is a real acid test for this club. We're 3 points off the playoffs. We've got games against Swansea, Middlesbrough, Leicester obviously will be a...
We could run away with it. I was just looking exactly the same.
Sheffield Wednesday and Bristol, even the Leicester game at home in a derby is a very, very winnable game. We could be in a much brighter position going into, the business end of the season if we get through this month.
Yeah. You look at Millwall at home, right? Norwich away from home is difficult. We just said about, going to different places and, if we've ground out a result against Leeds, is there any reason why we can't ground out a result against Norwich? I do see him as a bit of a bogey side going to Carrow Road. I don't ever really trust us to get a result. But you do look at that fixture list and you think, really?
We've got a tough end, but before that, we've got real big opportunity. We need to sort of really push and cement our place in the top half if we're going to have any chance of making the playoffs.
And how important, Dean, do you have any inkling on what... January could look like.
He's saying this
Blues.
Because I said something the other day. No.
You said you have an inkling that O'Hare, will sign a new deal. What do you anticipate? What would you like to see, I guess, in terms of incomings, to really be able to sort of allow us to push on that extra next step?
There'll be a set. There will be a central midfielder coming into the football club. I'll put that. It will definitely happen. I want to see that and a left-sided attacker come in.
Any names?
I'm not throwing names out there because it'll just come back to bite me on the ass. But Ross knows something from a friend of mine who works at The Athletic. Gave me a little inkling in August about a deal we were trying to do. But I think we sort of held back from that because he only had a year left on his contract. And that's still the case. He hasn't signed a new deal. Plays in Germany. He's very, very highly rated.
Process of elimination. So let's go. Plays in Germany.
Come on there, everybody. Get on your transfermarket.co.uk.
Bring your answers to the Scarlet's Extra Pub Crawl. Find us.
And the go on, give a few people a few things to go on. Even if it doesn't happen, Dean, we're not going to hold you to it. The same way we're not going to hold you to your flop of the season.
I can't even remember his name. Ross will probably know. Ross will know more than me.
Is it
Mines? He
plays for Mines.
And does he wear glasses?
He's Brazilian.
Has he got blonde hair?
We'll be knocking down the little figurines before you know it. He plays for Mines, doesn't he?
And he's Brazilian, isn't he?
It's not that Edison who everyone thought. Was it Edison we were going to sign? Or someone from...
And his favourite colour is sky blue. So read into that what you will.
Listen, I don't. It could be it's Leandro Barrero. If people haven't sort of picked it up by now, but yeah, highly rated sort of defensive midfielder. I don't know if it's got more legs since I heard it in August, but yeah, there's potential there. Looks a really, really competent player. So I'd like to see someone like of his mould come in. Might be a little bit out of our range maybe at the moment, but who knows?
Well, if he's only got 6 months left, you can't imagine him costing that much.
Sure. It's going to be a very interesting month, though.
Yes.
I think around the whole of the division, there's going to, I mean, look how many teams are sort of bunched up from, you know, you look at those last two playoff spots, fifth and sixth, are probably the ones that most people are going to be aiming for now. You'd say there's 12 teams involved in getting those two positions, and we are bang in the mix. A couple of months ago, we probably didn't think we were going to be in this position with the way things were going, but there's an opportunity there. Maybe we have to grasp it. And to do that, it's going to take some transfers in January. So I'm excited to see what happens. But I mean, if O'Hare was the only thing to happen in January, I think that would be a positive thing anyway.
Yeah, 100% agree. That's all we've got time for. I'll finish with your predictions for the Middlesbrough game. Dave?
Oh, I'd love a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'm with that. 1-1. Yeah.
1-1. So 4 points in the next two. Yeah, I think we'd all be pretty pleased with that. But that is all we've got time for. Dean, Dave, thank you very much for joining us. And make sure you get yourselves up to the CBS. Get yourselves to the Sky Blue Tavern. We'll be there tomorrow for our Sky Blues Extra pub crawl. If you're there and polite, then maybe Dave will get you a beer in.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, but yeah, thanks for joining us. As always, make sure you follow us on social media. And thank you again to our sponsors, Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.